Hey yo, and here we go. It's another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and this week we have a very special guest on. We have a man, what is it, Stephen Ajami? I don't really care, honestly.
Okay. Yeah.
Stephen. We have Steve.
Stephen
is on. Stephen, of course, from We Want Wrestling, and obviously you have been following our show since just about the beginning. You used to comment on our blogs back when we were on Blogspot. I mean, obviously, it's a huge thrill for you to be here with me. And why don't you talk a little more about me?
Yes.
You're fat.
You're fat. Oh, jinx. You owe me a Coke.
You're going to fit right in. All right, then.
I've listened a few times.
You've listened a few times. Yeah, well, I am the Crown Prince of Charisma. Addy is the asshole of attitude. And you, Ajami, right?
Ajami.
Ajami.
Yes.
All right. How about we just call you AJ? Because looking at you right now, you do look like you have the body of a 14-year-old girl.
Yes, that's true.
You know,
I'll start doing steroids.
Actually, I got Ajami from Mo's mom, but a little bit of penicillin cleared that right up.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
See.
All right. Addy.
Off to a flying start.
We really are. So, why don't we just keep this ball rolling? There's no pay-per-view this weekend.
Something even bigger. Something they promoted far more in the WWE. Raw 1000.
Raw 1000.
Let's just look back a little bit here to Raw 999. Because I think that was their first good show in quite a while. First Raw that I really enjoyed in quite a while. And coming off the Money in the Bank, which was, I thought, probably better than I expected, but not a great pay-per-view. But better than I expected. I did not expect a good Raw, though, because it just felt like the company didn't have any momentum. Then they came out, and pretty much every segment worked for me. Generally, I think all-around good show. And I'm not sure what turned it around other than when we got on tout and told them to fuck you. I'm thinking that's really...
There you go.
You're welcome, world.
It's when I called them cocksuckers. That's when they shut up and took notice.
That's what did it. So let's look back here. Addy, what are your thoughts on Raw 999?
Well, you say you don't know what it was that made it turn around to be a great show. There's two letters, and that's AJ. AJ didn't dominate the show.
That helped.
They had the segment where there's going to be a wedding next week, and well, I'm sure we may talk about that a little bit later. But really, it's just a matter of she was on one segment, and the rest of it was built. You know, the return of Bray, Ziggler and Jericho, you know, CM Punk and Big Show and John Cena, and there's just a different. They went into a different direction. Obviously, going into Money in the Bank, it didn't work. You know, whatever it was didn't click. And so now they're trying something different, and that's it seemed almost like a not quite like a reboot show, but that they're going in a different
certainly
direction.
Refocused. They're certainly they were refocused on this show. I mean, my favorite segment was the Chris Jericho Dolph Ziggler, because we've been talking about it on our show for a while. Like, Chris Jericho is now acting like a babyface. His Titantron is a babyface Titantron, but they're still booking him like he's a heel. And this was they didn't change anything about the character. They didn't do anything. He came out. He didn't even speak. Dolph Ziggler berated him. I'm hoping that's a SummerSlam match. For me, that's already the match I want to see the most, even more than Triple H and Brock Lesnar, which I think will be good too. I can't wait. The idea, I mean, babyfaces are supposed to win. So the thing about Chris Jericho is, as a baby or as a heel, he could put people over. And as a babyface, you're not supposed to put people over in the end. You're supposed to win, but he's still going to put Dolph Ziggler over. I think that's pretty obvious, and that's his personality. But he's at the point in his career where, like Triple H reached at a certain point, you know, Flair reached, where you've been around forever, you've been really, really good, people respect you. They just don't want to cheer you or don't want to boo you anymore. They just want they feel like they've earned the right to cheer you, and he's at that point in his career. So, I mean, that's the match I want to see the most.
You said Chris Jericho, Ric Flair, and Triple H. One of those things just doesn't belong here.
What do you mean?
Because two of the three put people over.
Oh.
True.
All right. Steven, AJ, go.
Just kind of building off the Jericho idea. I mean, I think hopefully, you know, he does kind of get into his personality more. I kind of felt with the return he had, it just wasn't working. Even with the Jericho Punk thing, you know, I think we kept expecting more out of it. And I don't know if it really lived up to, you know, what it could have been. I think with him and Ziggler, that's, you know, as long as they're given some time to build a match and work together, then, yeah, SummerSlam should be really good for them. What do you think about the idea of putting a briefcase up for grabs in the SummerSlam match?
I think that's a good hook. I mean, I don't think you change it, but I think it's a good hook. But the thing about this is it's fresh. Just when, and the thing about Chris Jericho is a babyface is there's a lot of fresh matchups for him. I mean, you know, there's so it feels like there's so few fresh matchups because not only they do so many pay-per-views, they do so many monthly shows. We're constantly getting the same guys. This is fresh, and it's two guys who can work stylistically. They should really, really – I think they'll have great chemistry. Addy?
Okay. Jericho, hopefully. I mean, the reality is, as Steven said, is that CM Punk didn't live up to expectations more because they sports entertainmentized it with the, you know, your sister and
creative.
Father. And yeah, like the in-ring, while it didn't light my world on fire, there was nothing wrong with it. But yeah, there was really no, I'm going to make you drink, and it's just, okay, well, basically a writer justified his existence for that. And with Ziggler and Jericho, I don't mind putting the briefcase up for grabs. Again, I don't change it either because Ziggler's the guy, and really what does Jericho at this point need with it? But yeah, it's, you know, as you said, I mean, that's the undercard is starting to take shape, you know, along the with Brock and Hunter. If, you know, you do something, depending on what happens tomorrow in this Punk and Cena match, but I could very well see a three-way, including the Big Show, between those three as your undercard. And then you've got something to do with, I don't know where else. I mean, you've got guys like Daniel Bryan and Christian and Cody Rhodes that don't have matches that will fill out. So what about Goldberg against Mongo? I mean, Ryback against Swagger.
Man, that's to me, you know what? Honestly, I didn't dislike the segment. I mean, Ryback just in the ring looks really, really clumsy. But the thing about that was as soon as he came out and I saw it was Swagger in the ring and Ryback came out. I mean, the crowd was great. It was a Las Vegas crowd. And the last several times they've been to Las Vegas, the crowd's been really great for them there.
Because they're drunk.
Well, yeah. I mean, the tourists, they're drunk, or whatever reason it is. You know, whatever. The crowd has been really great. I think I've noticed that when they've been in Las Vegas recently. And they were. I mean, they gave a good reaction to Ryback when he came out. And a lot of that was, holy shit, Ryback's not taking on two jobbers. Ryback's not even taking on, you know, two guys who are lower mid-card. Ryback's taking on somebody who's, yeah, he's a jobber.
One lower mid-card.
No, but he's mid-card. He's a former world champion. There's at least people know who Swagger is and have some respect for him. Not much, but a little bit. Certainly more than the guys he's been taking on so far. So when he came out, people went, oh, we're going to actually see what Ryback can do. That was the pop. And then at the end, they were actually into his chant, but that's because the crowd was so hot. They're basically sheep, which is what WWE wants, and that actually, in a lot of ways, makes for a better show. So what you had...
Let's not forget, like you said, Las Vegas, Ryback from Sin City.
Yeah, that didn't hurt either. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. So you have Ryback came out. When they got in the ring together, it was just... And I knew this. I mean, I'm watching this guy walk down to the ring, and I'm like, in a real fight, Swagger would destroy him. I don't think it would take 30 seconds for him to put him out. Like, if they were in the UFC or in a back alley, Swagger would kill this guy. And this is where I think we're at a different place than the WWE. I know Swagger would kill him, just destroy him in a real fight. And I think a lot of people know Swagger would win in a real fight. And I think Vince McMahon knows Swagger would win a real fight. But I think Vince McMahon thinks that when we see Swagger and Ryback next to each other, that we still think Ryback would win. It's not that he thinks Ryback would win. It's that he thinks that we think Ryback would win that fight still.
I'd agree with you till then because, I mean, look at how Booker got his push was by beating the shit out of Batista.
Yeah.
Vince likes legitimately tough guys, and I think that may actually be the only reason Swagger's still around.
Yeah, yeah. But I really think he thinks that we're going to look at Ryback and think that Ryback would win a fight against Swagger because that's what he thinks we think tough guys look like. Whereas when we saw Cain Velasquez against Brock Lesnar, pretty much everyone except for Vince knew that Velasquez who's going to win. But Vince looked at the two of them next to each other and went, Brock's going to win. So, I mean, that's he's still in that Yeah. So he's still in that mentality. AJ, what do you think? That is your name.
That is apparently so. I think the Ryback character is kind of growing on me for whatever reason. I think it's interesting that the crowd is finally getting behind him.
I don't know if they will be getting behind him. I think that was a Las Vegas thing.
Well, Money in the Bank, it seemed like they were chanting, but that could, you know, whether or not that's...
They're into Feed Me More.
Yeah, and I think, and that's, I mean, sometimes that's all you need. You know, look at Daniel Bryan and the Yes chant. That's just one word, and, you know, whether or not it carries over long-term or short-term, it's at least good for him to, you know, get somewhere, better than just coming out and, like, you know, defeating the local talent. Might as well feed him the, you know, lower mid-card. Feed him more.
Feed him three.
The thing is,
I would love to see him feed him three, actually, but that's
Ryback's an interesting dichotomy in itself because he's got at the end, people seem to like to do the feed me more, and they do the arms too, right? The football touchdown symbol.
They don't give a shit till the match is over.
And exactly, but during the match, they're chanting Goldberg. You know, so they're mocking him during his match, and then they're with him when it's over. And it's interesting, and it's a summertime. I'm at the point with Ryback that I got to the point with Brodus Clay, where it's not feed me more, but I need to see more. And maybe with Swagger, but I mean, when he had to sell against Hawkins and Rex there, like that was brutal.
He looked awful. No, he looked awful.
Yeah.
And his offense at times looks, I mean, it looks awful. Like, he just doesn't have any movement. And, you know, he was slightly leaner when he was in Nexus towards the end there. And he just looks, and he had a little quickness to him, a little snap to him. It looks to me like he's lost that. I think his foot speed doesn't look good enough. I think he just looks slow in the ring, and he just looks over-muscled. And to me, he looks awkward and clumsy. And I think he looks like he gets tired if it does go 3-4 minutes. So I just don't know that – I don't think it's going to work. I just don't think it's going to work. When we need to see more, I don't think it's going to work out for him.
You got to give him a little bit of time because right now Ryback is going through puberty. He's awkward, he's clumsy, and he's got acne on his back.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
There you go.
There you go.
Nothing else to add there.
Yeah, that's it.
I was going to say, that ends the Ryback.
Really, Ryback acne.
Ryback acne. So is there anything else from Raw 999?
Let's talk a little bit about Show and Punk. Did you like the match? I actually liked the match. I thought it was a good big man, small man match.
That was the best Randy Savage elbow I have ever seen CM Punk do. And I don't know if it's because he basically had like a crash mat to land on in the Big Show, but it was the best looking elbow that he's ever given. That's it wasn't for the title. I wasn't expecting any kind of change. I mean, it's 2 weeks in a row where you just get that really, really shitty ending. But, you know, there was at least on this a post-match that kind of made people forget about that ending.
Yeah.
But, the guy's been around for 947 years. I don't see why Big Show needs any kind of protection.
Well, because he's getting a renewed push, and he's the number one heel in the brand right now. If he's the number one heel in the brand right now, you don't want him doing a clean job. And you can't have Punk doing the clean job. But here's the thing about that match is that ending, we talk about it as a shitty ending. That shitty ending would have been fine if we don't see that ending all the time, and that's the problem. The problem is that ending in that situation is the right time to do that ending, and therefore, and it leads to something else, and it's going to lead probably to a SummerSlam match, and that's fine. The problem is that you're doing that ending so many times that when people see it this time, they groan. So, you know, it's all about the booking, the strategy, right? But let's talk about that segment. Did you like that? What'd you think?
The post-match.
Yeah, the post-match.
Well, let's ask the bride-to-be.
Alrighty. I guess, you know, we all knew Cena wasn't going to cash in there, so it's like whatever. Pretty much I'm just looking till tomorrow. I think Big Show's going to interfere, and Cena still will not cash in, and it just leads to SummerSlam. short and sweet is how I like to roll on that one.
Yeah.
But, see, you know, I mean, I just can't imagine, you know, I was just kind of like, I mean, I guess it was a good hook to get you in for next week, you know, for tomorrow night, since we kind of assumed Cena probably would cash in anyway soon. But like I said, I kind of see the Big Show playing a part in tomorrow night. And I don't even know if we even see the match between Cena and
I hadn't even thought of that possibility that you're right, that he attacks one or both before the match, and we never see that, and it leads to SummerSlam. Because, I mean, immediately when he came out and he goes, I'm going to cash it in at, I'm waiting for SummerSlam, and he goes, Raw 1000, I went, Because I literally swear to God, that possibility hadn't even crossed my mind. I went, that's good. I like that. But I also like the idea of them not having the match and him cashing in later. But I realized the problem is here is it's John Cena with the Money in the Bank. He's not going to be the guy that fails. Is the first
See,
guy.
He should be.
He should be, but he's not going to be. Punk is in the middle of this reign. They're talking about how it's at 8 months and how he's the 10th longest reigning guy, and they're building something, and I think people are starting to realize that they might be in the process of seeing something unique. But so they shouldn't change it, and they shouldn't take the title off of him. But John Cena is not going to be the first guy to fail to cash in the Money in the Bank. It's just, I mean, Dolph Ziggler, I think, has a really good chance of being the first guy to fail to cash in the Money in the Bank because they love to piss on him. But John Cena, they're going to go at the end of the day. Well, at the end of the day, even if they're sitting there and they're like, Cena's not going to cash in, Cena's not going to cash in, just before he's about to go out there, Vince will go, we can't fucking do that to John Cena. And that's it. You know, he's the franchise. They're not going to do that to him.
Well, see, my thought is I had two thoughts with it. I hadn't thought of AJ's idea there, where I think that Steven –
You like that nickname, don't you?
I do. That's going to stick.
Fucking right it is.
But I'm thinking –
You don't like it, do you, AJ? Who gives a shit? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. But I think that I had thought of a show during the match coming down and making it so that Cena was the first one to get a disqualified, the first person not to win the title. He'd win the match by disqualification, yeah. But not the title, because I don't think that
and
hurts
that
John Cena
you
in,
do it if
in
you're
the
planning
least.
To have him not be the guy.
The other one that I saw was that if not Big Show, but if somebody else attacked John Cena before the match started, which causes the match not to happen, and then you've got Punk against Show one-on-one at the Summerfest, and you've got whoever attacked Cena against Cena then in another match. So, because I said I'm a big proponent of John Cena. If you're going to go with Punk as the champion, then you put John Cena in a different match, then you've got two matches that theoretically people should care about, and three matches if you include Brock Hunter.
Well, and the other thing about this is we're talking about the world title, we're talking about CM Punk, Big Show, John Cena, and there's a the WWE title,
WWE
CM
title.
Punk, John Cena, the WWE title, and there's a white, well, actually there's a half black, half Samoan elephant in the room, and that is The Rock, and...
The mom?
Maybe The Rock's mom? But there is that. He's going to be coming back, and tomorrow he's going to be talking about winning the world title or the WWE championship and being champion again. And I'm not sure if that segment is happening before or after Punk. I'm not sure if that's close. I closed the show with The Rock at the end of the day, personally. But, I mean, we know they're opening with DX, and
they're opening with DX, and the big segments are supposed to go on the hour. So you're supposed to have
Hunter. It won't happen. It won't be a separate segment again later. It will happen at the same time as the DX stuff. Brock will come out at the beginning. Then you'll get the wedding in the middle, and then or the wedding or the world title match at the top of the hour, and then you have The Rock, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
you have four
the wedding,
possibilities,
the Rock,
well, five
you
if
have
they do
DX,
Brock
the wedding,
and
the Rock.
Triple H separate. But they won't do that. They're going to have – he's going to come out at the beginning. There's no question.
Okay. Now, here's we're jumping into Raw 1000 in the opening here. DX. Do we see the full DX?
I've been saying that for a while. You know, I don't know.
I don't think so.
But
either.
I don't think we will, honestly. I mean, I just.
X-Pac says he's on his way to the show when he was on the Cowhead show. Road Dogg's already there. And
so I guess he said he'd get Billy Gunn.
Well, and Billy Gunn for a ham and cheese sandwich will show up. So Raw isn't in Winnipeg.
Yeah,
so
well, you know what? He'll be there, right? Kip Sopp on his Twitter. So maybe he'll change. Maybe if we're exchanging the right to actually call himself Billy Gunn, he'll show up. I mean, who knows? You talk about it.
I mean, I'd love to see it just for them to be there because, I mean, that I feel like for Raw 1000, you need some of those guys that you haven't seen. Like, I was really happy to see Rikishi.
And we didn't see Rikishi dance with Brodus, which I was expecting. That was... I loved it when he danced with his kids. No, I'm like, they're getting rubbed. That's what they need. That's what they need, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody needs to get a rub from Rikishi.
No, I got a rub from your mom. Almost the same thing.
Basically. With a little ass on it.
But, yeah, no, so... Where the fuck were we going with this? I don't even remember.
Oh, no, it was good when Rikishi and Jimmy and Jay
Did Sean ever interact with the second generation of DX? Did he ever really interact with Road Dogg and Billy Gunn and X-Pac in that group? I mean, there really isn't. Really.
X-Pac debuted after WrestleMania 14.
Talk about the whole DX, really. In people's mind, there's only one DX. Yeah. In 2012, when people think DX, they only think the one. Now, if you want to have the click together, that's a...
The genesis of D-Generation X. Now, you can't have the click together because you can't... I mean, Scott Hall looks worse than you.
Which one of us are you talking about there?
Hmm?
Not
take
me.
Take your
pick, man.
Oh yeah, no. But, he showed up recently. After he no showed that one show, then he went to an autograph session a week and a half later, where Kevin Nash got him in to make up for it. He showed up. He was talking to the fans. He was there for a long time. He was there for 2 hours. He spent a lot of time with the fans. He apologized to a lot of people and was said to look really good. So that's bullshit. He can absolutely be there.
Then he went to the bar.
That video of him in the bar on somebody's cell phone from a few years ago, still one of my favorites. Yeah.
Oh, I'm Razor Ramon. But, I would like to see the – if they're announcing DX to me, I would like to see the whole DX there. Hell, trot China out there, and she, as long as she doesn't fall over, be all right.
Yeah.
And recruit.
Wait. Well, see, throw it. And sure. I wrote my Raw 1000 wish list on WeTalkWrestling.com for a cheap plug is that during the DX segment, I have all of DX out there, and Rick Rude is on the Titantron.
Oh, maybe, you know what? Maybe.
There you go.
Well, just a graphic.
Just a graphic. No, I mean, wonder if you have all the DX out there, and you have them showing up on Impact at the same time. Yeah.
That would be perfect.
There you go.
But I think that to me, what I would do is I have all of DX out there, and the main reason I have all of DX out there is because that becomes cannon fodder for Brock Lesnar. As Mo had said, the same seven in the same segment. Then Brock can beat the shit out of X-Pac, Road Dogg, and Billy Gunn, and then you can save the shit kicking he's going to give Shawn Michaels for Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night in San
Antonio. That's a good idea. I like that, actually.
Weeks.
I like that. And, of course, you can also do that if it's the click, though.
You could. You could have Brock Lesnar beat the shit out of Kevin Nash because he's known for selling.
Well, he'd be on his way. You know, all of a sudden, he'll have a little problem with his heart. Won't be able to show up.
Yeah, that's right.
Holy shit.
Let's go.
Well, all he needs to do is destroy
Powerbomb X-Pac, Brock. Trust me. It's...
And who wouldn't pay to see that?
Well, I mean, and Billy Gunn's always been a really good bumper.
So was your mom.
I mean.
Oh, you said bumper.
Bumper, I said. Bumper. And good, I said.
All right. Well, what else? What else? What else is going on?
Anything more to add, AJ, to the DX segment?
Yes. No, really? I don't really have anything. I think we covered it. Like I said, I think it's just going to be Shawn Michaels and Triple H, and that's fine. I mean, because originally that was DX. You know, we can't because it didn't. get New Age Outlaws and X-Pac till after Shawn Michaels, you know, lost the title to Stone Cold. So
the Genesis, I could see, you know what, I think you're more likely to see Road Dogg and Billy Gunn come out as a team later on as the Road to face Heath Slater. No.
To face the Hart Foundation.
No, but, yeah, I mean, I do think you're more likely to see them come out as the New Age Outlaws than as members of D-Generation X. I think you're more likely to see that in a separate segment.
To face I see Heath Slater this – to me, Heath Slater –
oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what you're building to, ideally. Ideally, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here, how about this one? What happens with Heath Slater after this? Because I think some people, yeah, that's why I was wondering if it's even.
No, it's not going anywhere.
Going anywhere, or is it just?
He is the anti-Randy Orton legend killer gimmick. Like he's the total. He's the 180 degrees opposite of what that was, right?
Well, we're gonna get to see Heath Slater for
money.
You know, probably at least the next year in Canada, but you won't because we get NXT.
There he has fucking money. Okay. Yeah. He is.
He's fucking money.
He is. Maybe they can actually have a legend, a female. Maybe actually that's where China comes out. And then, and then she rapes him.
Maybe. He needs a partner. If he's a one-man band, he needs to expand that band. And who better than the greatest song writer, the greatest singer in WWE history, Michael Hayes. Have you heard Freebird Road yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it is worth. It's about a 6-minute song that Michael Hayes, his tribute to Terry Bam Bam Gordy, died 11 years ago, and he went. And it's on the WWE YouTube channel, and it is legitimately Michael Hayes singing a song that he wrote.
Oh, great!
for Terry Gordy, and is it funny?
I still love Bad Street. Still like the greatest song probably the 80s.
He's dressed up in his Hall of Fame outfits to sing the song. Oh, it's hilarious.
Well, how about this? Since I've been watching the Raw 98 episodes and Jeff Jarrett had Mr. Tennessee Lee, we'll get Tennessee Lee to be the promoter for Heath Slater.
No.
Book it.
No.
Tennessee
no,
Lee.
We won't book it.
Okay.
You don't
that was Colonel Bob Parker. That was Robert Fuller. Robert Fuller, yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah. So how about this? How about how about we get the honky?
And Jeff Jarrett.
How about the Honky Tonk Man gets in there and
he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Honky Tonk Man.
Band.
There you go.
And so, that's how you bring Billy Gunn back.
The one Billy Gunn?
Heath Slater and Rockabilly.
There.
The one. The problem with Billy Gunn bringing Billy Gunn in is that he absolutely sucks.
No problem with bringing in Billy Gunn.
Good point. All right. So what else? What about the wedding? What the hell's going to happen there? I mean, it was funny to me how the crowd was the first time in months that the crowd was booing him like a heel was when there seemed to be trying to turn him babyface in Daniel Bryan and he's proposing and he's acting all sincere on Raw 999. So what's with the crowd and what's with going on tomorrow with that? We know that wedding's not going to go off without a hitch because it's WWE, right? Maybe we'll turn out. I'm hoping that the turnout that the Eric Bischoff is the minister, but we'll see.
Well, I look at it like actually twofold, in that I see two returns during the wedding. The first return being of GTV. And the second return is just to say, AJ, I've never loved anyone. I never looked at here. And the Godfathers. And GTV catches a la Eddie Guerrero the Ho Train with Daniel Bryan, and that ruins.
Yeah, could be. I mean, Kelly's coming back tomorrow, so.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that's that fits right in. Yeah, no kidding.
Literally.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder if the fact that the crowd – do you guys think that they were trying to turn him babyface And that's what about you, AJ? Do you think they're trying to turn him babyface when he proposed to AJ? And by the way, you and
I don't think they're trying to turn my fiance babyface. No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, Daniel Bryan. I think he's the one who's going to run from the altar or screw up the wedding. Because I think if they want to keep him as his heel character, then that only makes sense. But that's, like I said, I think this one's pretty wide open, actually. But
it's like Moe's mom.
I was just going
to make a Kelly for you.
I was going to make a Kelly Kelly joke.
So did she.
Really. Moe's mom, Kelly Kelly. Let's see.
Too bad Karma's not around, because that would be the perfect person for Brian to, like, cheat on AJ.
It would be the perfect person to come out and beat the shit out of her for him, right?
Well, Karma, do you think Karma will be there on Raw 1000?
Bret Hart's going to be there. He's into black chicks.
That's true. Well, I mean, but the thing is with Karma, did you hear this, the Karma news that come out this week that they actually, I think it might have been on Twitter, they actually named the baby. Yeah, they were going, well, they, or at least what they were going to call the baby, Justice. You know what I have to say to that, eh? What a miscarriage of justice that was.
That's Addy, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com. Send your complaints, too.
Well, you know my feelings on Karma, and I think that's been known that I just, at this rate, it's like, whatever. If she comes, she comes. She doesn't, she doesn't.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Mo's mom. That's how
your mom made me feel. Yeah.
He's heartless. Rey Mysterio returned on
Raw
999.
SummerSlam will see Rey Mysterio versus Alberto Del Rio, match number 1,000.
The Mexican will win.
There you go.
Oh, he looked
Rey
way
looked smaller, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was the first thing that I saw was Rey's. Definitely got that 60-day notice.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good. He should be healthier at that size. He doesn't need exercise at this point in his career, and with how over he is, it doesn't. But it'll be interesting. Again, you guys come back from a 60-day suspension, and apparently no. It seems like absolutely no. I don't know, what do you call it? No punishment. I mean, he's right back up into an upper mid card spot. When is Randy Orton will be there tomorrow too? Who's Randy Orton's match at SummerSlam is the question.
Well, Randy won't be there. He's not eligible until next week.
Yeah, he won't be there.
I heard.
Yeah, he's
I heard
not eligible because
early. That they're bringing him back a week early. But who knows? Maybe.
Maybe. It's in St. Louis.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I'm almost going to say Sheamus and Randy Orton go at it for the title. Now, whether that's a good idea or not, that's the way I – because who else can Sheamus face?
Well – the thing is I kind of look at a few things with this, and this is kind of a theme, is that I could see Sheamus and Orton, but to me what that is similar to what this Raw 1000 is feeling like, and that's a little bit of overkill. You know, like we talked about the wedding, is, you know, does the wedding need to be at Raw 1000, or can the wedding be in Raw 1004? Like, can we not build to this wedding and you know, give people a reason to watch next week and the week after and the week after? When we talk about Impact and how they're able to set
their angles
so that they're
– this is a very big deal clearly for them, because they're going 3 hours. And they need to make the USA Network believe that they're able to carry strong ratings for 3 hours and not the 2-5 – opening segment that they've had in the past. They need to make USA say, right, yes, dude, this is you're making the right move, paying us for this extra hour, and we're going to be able to draw us 3-2, 3-3 for 3 straight hours every single week. They need to put that in both USA's mind and in the fans' mind and get them there. So they should load this show.
Oh, but what I'm saying, what I'm saying is that they also need to do that.
Yeah, but you know what? We don't know what the go-home angle is going to be. This is supposed to be the big summer angle. This is supposed to be the Punk speech, the Nexus attack on Cena. That's supposed to happen on this Raw. And that'll probably be in the final segment. Right. And that should be enough to carry ratings into the next show.
So we never really got into that is with Cena and Punk. The other option and what I started to start to see happening were signs that we'd be looking at a Punk heel turn.
It's possible. I think one of the advantages of the Punk heel turn now against Cena is if it does lead to then he's an established heel to take on Steve Austin at WrestleMania, if you can pull that off. And that, to me, is the reason you do it now. Otherwise, he's one of the few guys, he's the second most over babyface on the brand and the company, essentially. I think at this point he's more over than Randy Orton anyways, because Randy Orton has really been floundering for quite a while now. So, I mean, he's one of the few guys they see as a legitimate star, so I don't know that I necessarily would do that. You talked about how the Calgary Stampede, you saw a few wrestling shirts, and all you saw was the CM Punk shirt that people were wearing.
Well, all I saw were the white CM Punk Best in the World shirts that, as I said, I'm presuming they bought last August when they were here for SmackDown, because that was a couple of months right after, before Nash powerbombed CM Punk and basically fucked him up. So the thing that I look at is that some of the mannerisms and some of even the promo between both Show and Punk on Monday, some of it was word for word for when he won the second ROH title and turned heel. And so that's where I kind of got that.
And there was little statement he said, a month ago or so when with Daniel Bryan, that I'm still the same guy. I still don't care about those people. You know, that there was that. I mean, if that was setting something up. But like I said, I mean, the advantage is if you can't get Steve Austin. Oh, shit. Another light just came on, went off, flickered. Anyways, The Undertaker is in my house.
The Undertaker's there.
Actually, he's probably will be. 1000. That's another thing to keep in mind, too.
There's a cunt, Mo.
Oh, Paul Bear's there too. Wow, he's got all the good people.
But
Percy.
So I mean, if you think you can pull that match off with Steve Austin and Punk, then you do it. If you don't, then you don't. Like if you don't think you can pull that off, then you don't turn them. I don't believe. AJ, what do you think? Right. This time when you're answering, try and say fuck, because you haven't yet, and that's unusual on our show, and we can't have you back unless you're cursing. It's bothering me.
Yeah, but I'm at my family's house, so I try to keep it clean. I'm at my family's house, so I try to keep it clean here.
You apologize for swearing. You should.
I know.
Yes.
Yes. There you go.
Fuck it.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I was going to say. In a way, I could almost see Cena, Big Show, and Punk going at SummerSlam without Cena cashing in, and they just make it a title match, and then that way you can keep the briefcase with Cena for another month. I was going to bring that up way earlier, but I didn't jump in there. So as far as Punk turning heel, I mean, I'm going to be a Punk fan no matter what. I mean, I enjoy his work, so I think either way he goes, it's like Jericho. It doesn't matter which way he goes.
We heard that about you.
I'm going to enjoy it. I feel like maybe. That one time in college.
Yeah, it was college. It's allowed.
Experimenting. you're from Indiana, right?
You don't want to know what we get with.
Yeah.
We did mention we got look Hoosiers like a 14-year-old girl, here. So.
I got some chin hair going on.
Yeah, you look like a 14-year-old girl from Indiana.
There you go. I'm so glad to be part of this.
It has a different feel than Monday Night
Steven,
doesn't it?
You're welcome.
Just a little bit.
A little bit, yes. It's all good. I knew it was.
That's right. And I haven't insulted you, so you're there at your family's house.
There you go.
Well, so I'll probably be seeing you later because I'll be visiting your mom. Oh.
She's dead.
Well.
That won't that stop him.
That's Katie Vick. That was my mom.
Wow.
I tried to pull that one off, but I guess it didn't work well.
No, because Mo has no shame.
You know, the nice thing about dead chicks, you don't have to bother wearing a condom. So it's good. It's good. Yeah, there you go. You heard that there joke, you right? You've heard that joke. I told that joke where the guy goes into the whorehouse and all he has is $5. And the pimp's like, oh, you can't get anything for $5. He's like, come on, I really need something. He's like, you can't. What can you get for $5? He's like, come on, you got to have something. He's like, okay, there's this hooker upstairs in the one room and she OD'd. And for $5, you can fuck her. So the guy's like, oh, Jesus. He's like, no. The pimp's like, oh, no. I mean, we're all being there, you know. There's been moments we've been desperate. I mean, we have Addie's mom. I mean, you know. So the guy's like, what the fuck? You know, he goes up there. He gives the $5. He comes back about 15 minutes later, and the pimp's like, so how was it? He's like, it's actually really, really good. That pussy was still, you know, fresh enough and tight, and it was good. It lasted a few seconds. Weird, though, because I was fucking her. Her nose was running. Pimp goes, ah, she must be full. So...
So what happened?
Already.
So this has a different feel than Monday Night Steven.
Yeah. Yep.
Was she full, though? Like, did anybody go check?
What the hell are we talking about?
Raw 1000. Okay, here's what I'll put out to both of you is, what would surprise you at Raw 1000? What's something that is a possibility, but it would shock you to see on Raw 1000.
The Undertaker. I feel like, you know, I just don't know what he's going to do. I mean, you hear the rumblings that he might possibly be involved in Survivor Series, so whatever he does here, we'll probably set that up because it's not like we're going to see him, you know, anymore between now and then. So, I mean, I just, you know, I always enjoy a good, you know, when the Undertaker comes out, I mean, he's... It's always enjoyable to see him, so I think that would surprise me personally because you keep hearing, oh, yeah, he'll be there, and it's like until I see otherwise.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're talking about will shock us. I mean, we know, like you say, they're going to shoot the big summer angle. Theoretically, the big summer angle the last 2 years has actually shocked us. So you're looking for something like that. Like, what would shock me? I'll take what you said about the Undertaker. Undertaker showing up and doing something or not doing something wouldn't shock me. If the Rock is closing the show, cutting his promo about being the champion, and then we hear the dong, and Undertaker comes down and stares him down and does the throat slash, that would shock me, and that would excite me, and I'd be like, this is great. But I don't know where they're going to go for it. If that means they're setting up WrestleMania for several months down the road, who knows? Like, I don't think that can count as your big summer angle, because your big summer angle needs to do something to sell people on SummerSlam. And let me tell you, no matter what they do, even turning Punk heel, I don't think that's going to be enough to have Punk and heel and show, or Punk heel Punk against John Cena. I don't think that's enough to count as your big summer angle. So they really got to pull something out here.
Yeah.
Or do we even think that? I was going to say, do we even think they're going to go with the big summer angle? Or are they just counting on everything to happen tomorrow night?
They have said publicly as like to expect the big public angle tomorrow. So you know they pretty much said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that came out.
Oh, I should apologize.
No, I didn't know that either, but I had no idea that they – I haven't heard that. I heard the rumblings of it, but nothing public.
They said that to their investors.
Okay, so it'll be true then.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
With all their new big stars –
Yeah.
The network will be out tomorrow night.
That's true. But, yeah, I mean, it really is. I'm not sure what else would shock – what would shock you, Addy?
Well, the one thing – you guys are going with some I'm going to go along the same lines, not with the Undertaker. But the one thing that shocks me and from just some of the feelings that I get from listening to, you know, to Ooh. Like a Dave Meltzer is that the thought – My thought in terms of a total shock, but nothing, again, pulling out all the stops, would be the return of the Ultimate Warrior. Not permanently, but just for one night. The Ultimate Warrior running down the ring, shaking the ropes, clotheslining David Otunga a couple times.
I think Ultimate Warrior, Heath Slater would work really well, too. Yeah, I mean, you know, that would be, it would be a shock. And yes, by the way,
you do a
back the Warrior University promo. And let's play it on the air next week.
Oh.
That is awesome. Did you see it?
We will.
AJ, did you see it? Oh my God, it's just
no, crazy. I have not seen that. Oh. I've tried to. I tend to ignore a lot of.
Yeah, I know. Everything this is like 70 anymore, seconds. So. He drops like 8 F bombs, and and he's just such a douche. Okay. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Of course, we did see Sid, so maybe Warrior's not out of the question.
I don't think. Sid wanted to return. They didn't want Sid because he's not money anymore. But for a one shot, yeah. I don't think there was ever the. I don't think there was the hard feelings with Sid that there was with Warrior. I mean, it would be a huge shock. You know what else would be? You know what else would really shock me is if they make the first Hall of Fame announcement and say Randy Savage will be in next year. That would really shock me.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I'd like to see that, but still at the same time would shock me again. My Raw wish list on WeTalkWrestling.com.
Is this your latest
my
blog?
Raw 1000 wish list. But
didn't you do 1000? Didn't you do 1000 blogs this week?
I may have done this. Maybe blog 1000 this week, but just a tribute to the past to the people that can't be on Raw 1000.
That's
actually
a good
idea. Bret Hart for. Yeah. Is to introduce just like a video, you know, a music montage deal. I don't know that they will because they, you know, they don't like to admit how many people are dead.
It'd be a classy thing.
You know, that to me would be something that.
No.
Yeah, so we won't see it.
We definitely won't. Because what is the cutoff? Do you include everybody or do you not include a you know, Lance Cade or, you know, whatever the hell his name was or Cade, whatever. What was his name? Garrison Cade, yeah. Much
Garrison
like Linda McMahon, I don't know his name.
Well, I mean, you could. I mean, again, it's just a matter of.
But it would be nice.
Yeah, what do you
it
do?
It would be
you
nice just to have that return of Chris Benoit.
There you go, see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we need Daniel Bryan then to introduce it.
Well, he is using the crossface as a finisher. He learned it.
It fits.
Yeah.
His name is Daniel.
Any thoughts on who the new GM will be? This is another angle that they promised
it
to
two,
pay
three
out.
Weeks and then they've dropped it. You'll notice. Nope.
No, they mentioned it on Monday.
Did they mention it?
I thought they mentioned it.
I don't remember them mentioning it. Okay.
They did.
They never said they had like a GM for that evening, which I thought was surprising. I thought they'd still have somebody that night, but
and yet the show ran smoothly.
There you go.
Wow, I had forgotten that they need one. like I say, they don't need one. Who do you think? Who's your top candidate, AJ?
I don't even know. I almost wonder if they might go like that whole people angle route where, you know, they're like, oh, vote on the title. That
but they
you
didn't
want
tell us who they're defending against. That's the part that bugged me about that. Like, what the?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, but that I wonder if maybe they're going to try to go that route for a little bit, and then you can still try to sell some GM later down the road.
That's an interesting.
I really don't know.
That's an interesting concept.
I have no clue.
We're announcing that the new Raw GM is you. Honestly,
is
like
you.
That would be his tout is you.
Tout.
I got a tout for them.
No, but that's how you do it, though. If you're going to go that route and you're going to have it, then you go with through tout. Tout us the matches you want to see.
Yeah,
you're the general manager.
I actually think that's a good idea.
And you could still throw out like an actual
like I think,
later
and,
on
and
down
from
the
what
road,
we understand
I mean,
on Raw. That was legit, that vote that went through where Christian won, will defend his belt, but that was a legit vote. They didn't skewer the numbers, and they didn't try and force you to – they mentioned who could possibly defend, and they didn't try and influence the voting at all. They just laid it out there.
They did. But, because they didn't give a fuck, right? I mean, like, of any of the three titles or whatever it was that were there, I mean, again, this is going to be such a – tertiary part of Raw 1000 with the main angles that are already there. This is a match, and whether it was a Divas match, a U.S. match, or an inter like
but,
no,
you mean those
really
titles aren't important?
Right? It's strange, I know. The weird thing is that Layla is going to come out and defend the Intercontinental title.
Five stars. But no, I mean it's
Yes.
I mean, maybe they will. Maybe they will let people actually, you know, have that power. No, there's. I mean, like, the name to me is obviously JR. Because, I mean, people keep on wanting him on the show. They keep on wanting him on the show. They can't ever really completely get rid of him. This puts him on the show but doesn't make him – you don't have to have him on more than one or two segments. And he's not out there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a perfect role for him. To keep him on and satisfy that fan base without actually having him call the matches. So it makes sense.
He's been my pick from day one. The only other name or the only other word that I'll throw out there is another possibility. I don't use them this way. I use them in a different way.
Woo!
Ric Flair.
And Flair, will we see Matt Morgan debut tomorrow?
I don't know. Is Raw brought to us by Direct Auto Insurance?
Well, his Twitter took off the TNA part of his name. I mean, it's pretty much understood that he's going to end up there. So.
Yes, it's just the lawsuit, I think, has got to get to
another level. It doesn't sound like the WWE is afraid of that lawsuit at all.
Well, no, they're not afraid. I mean, it's not that they're not afraid of the lawsuit, from what I gather, but they're still, I guess, it's cautious optimism, I guess, is the word, is that they pretty much think they got a slam dunk here. But until they get to the next level of the court proceedings, they're not going to sign anybody until then. Until the opening arguments or the see in front of the judge can be made, then they're just not going to go hire people and then go into court.
We'll
they're going to go into court and then start hiring. So, that's corporate. That's what you do. Like, that, there's no real
–
you can't really do it any other way.
Flair's a little different. Guaranteed Matt Morgan. I think they could have Matt Morgan on. I don't think he will debut. I'm just throwing it out there, and he would make an excellent GM.
No,
but
with Flair, I could see Flair being there.
Flair is less likely to be there than Matt Morgan. Based on the lawsuit,
I don't know. To me, you have Zack Ryder in the ring, and Ric Flair comes out, and you have the
it, and they will eventually.
And then. Cody comes out and challenges Ryder, and Flair's in Ryder's corner, turns on Ryder, and becomes a manager of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Done.
Fuck, you should work there. And that took you how long? No, I think that may happen at some point.
Seconds.
I think that may happen at some point, but not yet. Not yet.
Sucking your mom twice?
Speaking of which, I'm going to keep AJ. What do you think? Who's your choice for the R? And by the way, now I'm thinking I'm going to call you AJ, not because you have the body of a 14-year-old girl, but because you're likely to be married and still knock up somebody on drugs.
Okay. I don't know. I mentioned that the AJ raw GM Funker. Is you. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. The other AJ, the lesser known AJ.
You are for me.
The lesser known AJ. Where were we talking about? What do you want me to talk about?
All the women in Indianapolis are on track. I want you to talk about that.
Every single woman. No, I was going to say about Flair.
Or Flair?
I thought the people were waiting for
Flair.
Him. Flair.
Not Ric Flair. I thought you said Flair.
Ric Flair. Yes.
Flair Lynch. We will fucking get there. Turn off your phone, asshole.
I'm sure. I am.
All right, go ahead. What? I don't know. You just talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about.
I don't know where I'm going.
He just made it to level 3 in Super Mario World.
There you go. What do we got? You guys go ahead.
I'm getting the feeling you wanted to be on this show, not to talk wrestling, but just because you wanted to hear the show before everybody else.
Exactly. That was exactly the reason. That was the only reason. I waited months and months to get on here. Just so I could see you guys.
And it is always this dynamic.
You got me.
It's like finding out Santa Claus isn't real.
Wait a second.
Yeah,
was that about Santa Claus?
Off the mute.
Oh, Santa Claus isn't real.
Santa Claus.
Thank you. Oh, he scared the hell out of me.
I know. So is there anything else to say about Raw
tomorrow? I don't know if there's any other matches. I think the one thing about Raw is the one question is, even though they're filling 3 hours, they're going to have so – we know they have what? We already said 4 to 5 big segments, maybe 6 big segments, and then you have a couple matches.
Maybe 6.
And I think you'd be stupid to waste a Jericho versus Ziggler, but I could see that happening tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, I do think that's the thing, is building to SummerSlam or something like a Jericho-Ziggler could have no FaceTime almost, you know, because they have so much other stuff, and they're going to have surprises, and they're going to have guests, and you're going to have fucking Bob Barker out there, and, you know, whatever. So.
Well, let's not – well, yeah, Bob Barker is going to come and
right.
fight Chavo,
right.
like you said, right? But speaking of which, Chavo Guerrero going to debut on Impact.
That was
on
good.
Thursday.
They put a nice little vignette for him together, and he's going to be serious. And it's funny. I was thinking about here's the difference between Paul Heyman and the current WWE creative. Paul Heyman took Chavo Guerrero with the SmackDown 6 and made him a star. Current WWE creative took Chavo Guerrero and made him Hornswoggle's bitch.
Yes, well, let's look at Chavo Guerrero. Paul Heyman didn't make Chavo Guerrero. He can't take full credit for that because he was actually against.
That's true.
The lie, cheat, and steal vignettes. He adamantly opposed those, and those were great. Now booking him in terms
but
of
you know
SmackDown
what? But here's the thing. Yeah,
matches,
no, that was Heyman.
That was Heyman.
He opposed those. But one of the reasons he opposed those was he didn't think it was going to get proper heel heat, and it didn't. It turned the baby face. Yeah. I think he knew that, and that was the point. It's much like when you talk about the problem with CM Punk turning him heel is he's still going to get too many cheers because he's too fucking cool. And he's not going to be able to not be a cool heel. Right?
I don't think he can be. He does... Yeah, I think he knows the game. If he's going to go heel, he'll go heel.
He's not going to be able to pull the straight edge stuff, I don't think, a second time. So I don't know what else he's going to do to not be cool CM Punk.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But, I mean, Chavo Guerrero,
he's going to come in, and for at least a while, the X Division is going to be, at some point for a while, I'm sure the X Division will be built around him. I'm sure that's... And West
and Zima Ion. I mean, well, see here. I like though the Chavo Guerrero making his TNA debut as they show clips of him wrestling TNA matches.
That's true. That was weird. It was weird.
That was too funny. I was like, oh, he's. I didn't even know he'd been there before.
Yeah, I'm not sure where those clips are from because I don't recall him ever being on TV. So.
Unless he was on the early pay-per-view
No, I think
days,
he would have been with WWE.
Right?
He was pretty much always with WWE right from the he was with WWE before Rey Mysterio was there, right? He was already established, so I don't think that's the case. I think it's probably possible that those clips are from Rock King King or whatever it was called. Ring of King. Yeah, he was
oh,
he was in
King.
Ring of King,
he
so
in that?
I'm sure
yeah,
that's
that
where
could
they're
be,
from.
That could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, that's good. I mean, Chavo hopefully has one good little run left in him in TNA. And he's like 40 years old now, so I'm not sure what you can expect from him. But, yeah.
Well, if all he has to do is eat the burritos, right?
You'll get the runs. There you go.
You'll get the runs.
Yeah, it is safe to eat here. Yeah, like that restaurant I saw, that Mexican restaurant I saw in Los Angeles when I was down there. And that sign saying it was safe to eat there. I was like, well, as long as they're telling me.
As long as they need to promote that it's safe
exactly.
to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's good.
So what do you think? Did you watch? We told you, if you're going to be on this show, you had to watch the best wrestling promotion right now.
No, I didn't watch it.
So here it is. So this is interesting, though, because we're like you. We stopped watching it, and we did not want to go back because we were so burned, and they sucked so much. And now we gave it a shot, and now it's like it's the only must-see. Like, I enjoyed last week's Raw, and I know I'm going to enjoy Raw 1000. But I'm not sure I'm going to enjoy 1002, 1003, whereas I am confident I will enjoy every single Impact for the rest of this year and beyond. I have that much confidence in the product right now. It's so good. we were like you, so what's it going to take to get you to give them a shot? I mean, you have tried to watch them at some point, right? And have you ever watched?
I don't know. I might not. I mean, I just because I don't really have cable TV at my house, so whenever I do watch anything, I just stop over at my family's that is like 10 minutes down the street. So I try to like find good times. So it's like, you know, I don't want to like stop over there every other
YouTube.
Yeah,
I watch Impact on YouTube.
I do have the internet. Yeah. Well, I just don't. I don't know. I've never gotten into it. So maybe that's why. You know, I just never even thought about it. Just because I've.
But
a
back
WWE
in the day,
guy,
did you watch?
Know,
did you
not,
watch WCW you know, and Nitro?
No, I didn't. I was always more
you
of a
never
WWE
really
guy.
Watched anything else.
That's just the way I was.
But would you say WWE has
no,
been
I
say
haven't.
Over the last 3 months good?
Well, no, it's not been good, but I still am watching it. Because I feel like, especially with tomorrow night, I'm just going to watch it, hopefully, you know, as a fan. Like, I kind of get tired of people who have to criticize every little move.
I don't like Keller.
Yeah. I've actually thought about this a little bit. I'm almost comparing it to the, I listen to punk rock music. And whenever any little thing happens, you just, like, get on those punk rock message boards and, like, there's, like, 10,000 bad comments. I'm like, you know what? You know, sure, this band made one bad song, but it's like, get over it. You know, if you don't want to listen to it, then don't listen to it or something. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, if you're going to criticize something, then just, you know, either criticize it and move on or just, you know, don't watch it. So it's like, with me and TNA, I don't have anything towards it, so I'm not going to worry about, you know, trying to make a move. You know, I follow because, like, people post the spoilers, so I'll see, you know, what's going on. And, you know, on Twitter, I mean, people do talk about it. And I have enough wrestling followings that are wrestling followers, you know, and if I follow enough wrestlers that I can see what's going on. But just for me, it's just, I don't know. There's just nothing really there that,
no,
you know,
that's
I
the thing
really
is,
latched,
nothing
onto
you've latched onto.
That, you
know, but this isn't anything that you've ever seen before. Like, this isn't, I mean, in some ways, in the freshness of it, it's like Nitro in the early days, but really the presentation isn't like Raw. It's not WWE Lite. It's a wrestling show for wrestling fans who, and it has a little bit of everything. And you probably would enjoy it if you gave it 2 or 3 weeks to watch it, is a thing. And I'm saying to everybody, and we saw this last week, their ratings were really strong and the momentum is building. And, and they have an angle which, while we talk about the big WWE angle, they have their big summer angle going right now. And in a lot of ways, everybody who watched it is talking about Aces and Eight. Everybody who saw it is talking about it. Whereas I'm not sure WWE will be able to get everybody who watches Raw 1000 to talk about anything. You know?
No. I wrote a column about who should be on
one of your 1,000
on WeTalkWrestling.com. But it's one that and not just to plug it, but I mean that's just
no,
a
that's what I
byproduct.
See your mom.
But that brought our site traffic to record numbers. So people are actually interested in this angle, and that's kind of, you know, like we're not that we're a barometer
you,
by
yes,
any means in terms of wrestling popularity, but we're influential. No, but in terms of a barometer, but I can tell that this Aces and Eights, based on our site traffic alone, is really driving the interest of people. So it's not just a situation where people are watching and not giving it another thought.
They
people really want to know who's in this
They
group.
Got something. Yeah. They got something here, the
and,
quality
and they,
of the show in general, and then this angle, and it's not an original angle. This angle's been done in wrestling since the beginning, almost, of wrestling. You know, this is not a hard – but it's being done well, and it's it has a mystery, and it's being done well, and there's the idea now that when – I think there's a feeling that when guys like Luke Gallows or who was it else you said? There was somebody – Wes Briscoe, and there was somebody else you pretty
Wes
much
Briscoe.
Confirmed, though, this last – Mike Knox. These
Mike
are guys
Knox.
Who a lot of people felt did not get their fair shake in WWE, and there's a chance – there's a feeling that, hey, these guys are going to get their fair shake now and somebody else, and they're going to value them, and this is cool. And it reminds me of when the Radicals left. Or when X-Pac came over, or when Chris Jericho came over. It has that feeling now, to me, just the idea that hey, some guys with some talent who actually have some passion for this business are going someplace and going to get a shot. And that's cool.
Yeah. And what I don't have the feeling of is almost the opposite. To me, because of the costumes, I immediately made this sort of the comparison to DDP stalking The Undertaker. And to me, this is actually the opposite because they're behind this angle.
And they're not they use that angle to bury WCW and DDP. That's what they use that angle for. That was part of the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. Especially since he came in for less money, so that made him a mark, so that was even more reason to do it. Well, how about the fact that he actually liked your product and liked wrestling and just wanted to take part, and that enthusiasm should be rewarded? WWE's attitude is different. And when I'm disappointed in WWE, and you say you're a WWE guy, AJ, the problem is this is the type of bullshit that's like, okay, even not even the product on screen, which can be inconsistent, but that type of bullshit in politics, like, pisses me off.
But don't kid yourself. That bullshit in politics is
that happens everywhere.
That happens in my work, for fuck's sake. That happens at your job.
I don't know if that really plays a part, because any job.
Well, yeah, that's going to happen in any single place. I mean, but you know what? It's been happening for a long time, for so often at WWE. And there's a feeling like I say, when guys were leaving, it was happening at WCW, and there was a feeling that it wasn't happening so much at WWE. And for a while it wasn't. And guys got their chances, and guys became star. Guys like Mick Foley.
Don't kid yourself. Steve Austin would not work with Owen Hart or Jeff Jarrett.
Right, Steve Austin wouldn't work with Owen Hart because he broke his neck. Jeff Jarrett, he wouldn't work with you, right, because he thought he was below him. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
No, but and guys are always going to do
that. Yeah, but I mean, Austin pulled his strings too.
Yeah.
Just
so,
the product.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but there's no sense that there's nobody on Austin's level there right now, and there's no sense that people. I'm not saying the politics aren't being played. I'm saying that there's no sense the politics alone will keep somebody from getting a shot. I'm not saying the politics alone won't have a guy like Taz debut at Royal Rumble. No. Have a huge pop and have Triple H walk around the backstage going, how can we bury this guy before he gets too over? You know, there's not that feeling. It's not that politics aren't going to be played. People are always going to try and get the highest spot on the card, and they fucking should. But I'm saying that there's not that feeling like they're just burying people for the sake of burying them or for stupid, petty shit.
Well, according to Mick Foley, Hunter was saying, how do we
bury
him before he gets to the ring?
So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. So I just think,
okay. The problem is, the reason that Hunter was saying that, though, is because he was looking out, he was actually in the third row, Hunter, and he couldn't see Taz going to the ring. It's like horrible.
Got it.
Does Taz live under the ring? Is
Taz,
that what
there
you're
go.
To say?
Under, he, yeah? He lives underneath the ring.
He lives under the ring.
all right. Well, I mean, other than that, the thing about it also is it also had the thing about Impact this week. Not their best show, not bad. Still fresh. Still, like you say, different camera angles, different type, a different feel, a new wrestling show like I've never seen before. Like modern wrestling mentality and angles and presentation with better production values than I've ever seen before. It's basically what you're seeing here.
I do think one too many aces in eight segments,
true.
Though. I could have done without the attack
on Kurt. I think the attack
on Kurt
was important to establish they were there because that was the opening segment. I think it was that middle attack on I think that's the one.
Check
but even then, that played into something, right? Well, but it wasn't as great a show overall as they have been. It didn't, you know, I mean, but that said, it had the angle at the end, and that's all you're talking about. It's like that Raw where Nexus did that. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I seem to remember that show sucking ass. Until Nexus came out and ripped the ring and the set apart, you know that. And who cares?
Yeah,
right?
I don't remember anything
about
this
matters.
Show.
That's all that matters. It's like UFC again. Yeah. All people give a shit about is the main event. They don't give a shit about the undercard.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about a 7-second knockout. They only care about the fact that Burrell Faber sucked.
There you go. But you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, I do hope you give it a shot for a week or two, or even watch Rewind.
Okay.
Because that looks like it's still going to be available on the internet, and you can get an hour version of it.
Yes. Can't watch Rewind on Spike TV, however. Got canceled. Yes.
How the fuck do you get a point two? I mean, isn't that what Kurt Angle blows? A point two?
I think so, but I also the reason they're saying that TNA got a point two because it's on Spike TV. What they did is they showed instead of Impact, they showed old XFL footage.
There you go. Your mom does. Dear mom, there your mom. You knows speaking a point of which, two.
Do you think?
Yeah. But I don't want to brag.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know your penis is 0.2 centimeters. I know.
Monday Night Steven.
You think he hate me will be on Raw?
He hate me. Monday Night Steven needs more penis jokes.
That's probably true. Mm-hmm. It's actually going to be taking a hiatus for just a couple weeks while I get things sorted out.
Fine.
By the way, so.
Oh, so it stopped plugging it then.
You have a.
I
you do blog yeah. on. You do
just
blog on
everything else
on
about
wrestling.
Me. I do blog on there, and I have the Twitter handle.
So there you go.
And
you have
so
had a couple guest blogs up for us now. So there you go.
Yes, I have. Yep, nope. The Undertaker versus whoever.
Which got
whoever
picked up by was it Russell Zone? Has the three leading candidates. What was that, Adam? What?
Oh yeah, I didn't even tell you that. On WrestleZone.com, they said sources say that there are three leading candidates to face
an hour
the Undertaker.
After it went up on our site.
John Cena, The Rock, from West.
That's what it's like.
There you go.
Yeah, it was literally like an hour after it went up on our site. They were reporting it as fact.
You are
the source.
Sources from say,
source.
That's you. You're
as a sports fan, it's all I hear all the time.
Yeah, you're
anymore,
the source.
I'm just like,
the speculation you did about who you'd like to see, that's good enough for them to list it as a source. That's excellent.
Well, unfortunately, like I said, in the sports world,
hey, you're a fantasy
you know,
football
I could say,
guy
hey,
too, aren't
you? The Pacers
you?
Should trade.
All right, because you know we do
I
our
do
fan
fantasy
where we
football,
talk podcast.
Yeah.
We got a fantasy football podcast that's going to be coming back, and maybe we might do some fantasy football league thing going on there. So maybe some sort of group We Talk Podcast League. So maybe we'll get on there and I'll kick your ass.
Probably so. I see some people do fantasy wrestling, which
you know, I mean,
cool do,
I've never least. Seen one that works. That's the
know.
Problem with
that.
That would, it's like, how do they make it work?
I don't know.
No, the problem with the fantasy wrestling is that I picked Andrew Luck.
There you go. Hey, he's going to take
the problem for me
Bowl
with the
year.
Fantasy
Not
wrestling is I'm charged $15.
I know. That was the apartment wrestling tape, though.
All right. So my question for you now, Addy, is as we sit there and you sit there, what was it, like a week and a half ago, you are like, that's it. If Raw doesn't hook me, I'm done. I'm like, you were just upset. You're like, they have until the end of the month. Then they had this good show this Monday, and we're pretty much guaranteed a good show this following Monday. So where are you sitting on your booting them to the side?
Well, you know, I'm still at the same place in that, as I said, I was going to give them Raw 1001, right?
Well, Raw 999 is good. That's not enough.
Raw 1000. Well, 999 was good. We knew it. Like we know 1,000 is going to be good. As many people that listen to this show know, I'm a nostalgia guy, and so we're going. The fact that we're going to see Brett and some DX and some other stars from the past, as well as the lineup they got. I mean, that's enough. That it's you know it's going to be a good show. But the 1001. I mean, they still have to build on what they're doing and build the SummerSlam. And I mean, with 999 being better because, as I said, there's no AJ all over the place, that gives me hope that, again, the big key here is that the fucking show is still going to be 3 hours. I mean, that's a long time. Like, to sit there, like, pay-per-views aren't 3 hours long, and you're going to have an overrun on this stupid thing, so it's going to be 3 hours and 15 minutes, and I mean, I know there's commercials, but I still got to, you know, if you're watching it live, you still sit through the fucking commercials, and you still got to click past them. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that they're going to have to put in, and my fear is that filler is going to be enough to turn me off.
That's fair enough. I mean, I think, too, I was kind of reading, I think that they're saying the third hour could be some sort of social media hour. So even if it, like, overruns, you know, till 11:15 or something, and then maybe, I don't know what, maybe they'll do a recap. So maybe there's nothing that still keeps going on.
The speculation, what you're hearing here, is that eventually it's going to become, is that they're going to try for the 3 hours like they're doing. And when it fails and they find that there's just too much programming, that's when you're going to see a change and become a recap show or become a social media show. That's when that's going to happen. But it's not going to happen at first. They're going to see if they can make this go.
Okay.
Well, that's not entirely true because what are they calling it? They're calling it Raw Interactive or something, or Rinteractive or Raw Interactive. It's one big word there where they're going to be using this tout and social media and all that bullshit throughout the show. So I mean,
yeah, that's true.
I don't know if you're going to have a little like you do on ESPN, TSN at the bottom where, you know, during like free agent frenzy day, there's, you know, tweets going down at the bottom of, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, I don't know anybody that fucking watches that, yeah. But I could see them doing that. But I mean, so I could see there being an interrupt. I mean, I like the, I would like, a, yeah, if you did a Raw post game show or something,
post know, from, or pregame
studio or something. Yeah.
What like, about
that's kind of
what about though? If they do that though, then you're not going to need the cruiserweights brought back. And I mean, I think there is a hope a lot of people who have good memories of when cruiserweights were treated with respect that they're going to bring it back. Now they might bring it back, but the problem is they still won't treat it with respect. So who gives a fuck?
Well, unless again, I mean, if you're using that as your your filler, that's fine, right? Because really, I mean, you're talking about the writing team here. So if you can give them 20 minutes or 15 minutes a segment, or this is just a match. This is, you know, Rey Mysterio against Trent Barretta, go, and they go, then that's
you're giving them too much credit. They can't do that. What they'll do is they go Rey Mysterio versus Trent Barretta, go, and then we go now when Rodrigo comes down to the ring, this is what he does, and then when ADR comes down, this is how he reacts to it, and then this is and they overcreate everything.
Well, that's and they can overcreate it at the end of a 15-minute match. But we'll see. Fine.
I mean, that was one thing about this Raw. I enjoyed it. Until the final segment, the matches were so short, and you know until that CM Punk versus a Big Show, like I mean, these matches were 2 minutes ago, right? So maybe I'm hoping for a little bit more wrestling in my wrestling show with the 3 hours. That's the hope, but I don't know. I mean, we saw what was it? Nitro went to 3 hours, and the first hour or 2 hours when Kevin Nash booked it, not a single match, like.
That was an opening hour segment experiment.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
Or something.
Because people have Raw to turn to.
Did you watch?
I haven't seen it yet. I still
did you watch SmackDown?
I haven't had a chance yet.
How about you, AJ?
Unfortunately, I missed it as well. I just read the spoilers. I wish it would go live so I wouldn't read the spoilers, honestly. But
yeah,
that's just my own. I mean, I'm bad about that. You know, if I know there's spoilers so up,
you're
I just read them and
you're
then
the evidence
decide whether
of,
or not to watch
that
it.
That actually hurts the ratings then. Because a lot of people don't think it does.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, I'm probably the opposite. Yeah. I'm more likely to watch if the spoilers make me think it's interesting.
Yeah, but are you less likely to watch it if the spoilers say
no,
it
I wasn't
sucks.
Watching anyways. Unless the spoilers say it's interesting. As a general rule, just because it's a Friday night show and it's a shitty night. No.
Yeah.
Like the Tuesday night SmackDown,
yeah.
I made sure to you know, come over
if
and
if it
watch
was on Tuesdays
it.
Or Wednesdays.
Like I think the live show has a better
Absolutely.
Feel anyway.
Absolutely.
I mean,
if it was on a Tuesday or Wednesday, which is another thing. I mean, we noticed that with Impact. The show feels better because it's live. Right?
See it? Yeah, exactly. And I generally myself really the only reason that I watch SmackDown usually on Fridays is because I get home from work, and as I'm eating dinner, I mean, Vintage Collection comes on the score at 5 o'clock on Fridays here. And so I get home about 6:30 from work, and it's already sitting on my PVR, and SmackDown's on right after it. And so I'm usually seeing a lot of great vintage wrestling, and in the I can then stomach and, yeah.
and
move on.
And the thing
on
is, this week
SmackDown.
I understand that the two segments we're seeing was Rey Mysterio, and what was it, the AJ Daniel Bryan Christian segment.
See, and I didn't really care for that. It, to me, I don't know. Everybody said, "Oh, it's hilarious. It's worth watching." And I just
because you hate
I
AJ.
Didn't really. I mean, they
I hate smushed, everybody named AJ.
They smush cake in each other. Well, no. See, I liked the on that YouTube when Brian was finding a gift for AJ.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it was going to be somewhere along the lines of that. But it wasn't.
So SmackDown was pretty much a miss, you're saying, anyways. Don't bother going to see it?
I was going to say there's really nothing that you need to see on SmackDown. You didn't – I mean, again, do you know what? SmackDown felt to me like a holding pattern for Raw 1000. The only thing that I got goosebumps watching because it does it to me every time was when a rush.
And, did he have Davis face paint stuff on?
You know, it's just
and a good.
Oh
pop
yeah,
or...
he had the full gimmick on.
Much like
the, yeah, good pop. As Booker T pointed out, this was
go.
A Road Warrior pop.
That's because I wonder.
There you go.
Probably half. So
then he had to. Then he had to explain
yeah, I bet
why
half the audience doesn't know that Hawk's dead.
No, but if they do a video on Raw 1000,
that's true. They show his highlights from when he was doing the drunk character in 1998. Yeah, that was
when
awesome.
He fell off the Titantron.
Yeah, draws. Anyways, so
what if you had? What if we did? If they could buy, I guess they'd have to settle the lawsuit with TNA first. But they could have, like, they could bring guys out like Luger and Draws and have like All Wheels Wrestling.
Luger, Draws, yeah, Dynamite Kid.
China.
Excellent. Yeah. And on that note, AJ, so my question for you is in this Aces and Eights, is there anybody that is currently not in TNA or WWE that has been released from WWE over the last, I don't know, 3-4 years, that they could bring in that you're such a fan of that you go, okay, I'm going to give that a shot?
Yes.
Not really. I mean,
there's no underutilized talent
who
that never
is there,
got the shot,
you know?
That you're just wishing to see it get a fresh start, like a Chris Benoit or the Radicals, Eddie Guerrero and those guys when they came over to WWE or Chris Jericho. You don't think that guy exists for you?
Not for me, no. I mean, I just don't think about. I guess I don't think about wrestling that much in depth. Personally, I just try to enjoy it as much
I
as I can.
I get the feeling you don't think about anything in depth.
You know, I've seen the. It's fun. No, there's no. You know, like I mean, I guess you could see somebody like Chris Masters. You know, he feels like he. You know, he improved. So you could throw him out there, but I. You know, I don't know if that would just be like, oh, you know, I'm going to go watch him now on TNA.
There's nobody, John Morrison,
so,
MVP.
Not really.
Nobody that you're.
MVP, I do. I've always enjoyed MVP's work, but I think he'll be back.
I think there's a chance actually he shows up at Raw 1000 returns, but I also think the chance is an ace of eight.
Yeah.
I see John Morrison there sooner than MVP.
Could be. I see both of them, yeah.
That's. Especially since Morrison, I mean, I still do follow the Zack Ryder YouTube show, and you know, Morrison's been on there, you know, quite a few times, which is not, I mean, it's a little surprising, but
so Melina hasn't been on, right?
He's not dead.
No, she was kicked out of the building
when
she tried to get in.
No Melina.
There you go.
So, like I said, I could see John Morrison showing up quick, you know, sooner, but I did always enjoy MVP. I thought he was underutilized. You know, and then he got stuck with the whole losing streak and never really seemed to go anywhere. I mean, he did win the U.S. title, but I always thought he could have done more because it seemed like his gimmick could have connected. I thought, you know, you have this kind of cocky, athletic guy, but you know,
the problem that MVP had was that taking a piss test for the wellness policy he apparently berated the testers quite heavily, okay, to the point where they just that was the reason for his deep
again,
push was
again
more
you know
of
what?
A
I wouldn't be
disciplinary
surprised
thing.
If a Randy Orton did that too and didn't get deep pushed for it, you know what I mean? Like it's yeah. I guess you ought to know how to play the game. I'm not sure he understood how to play the game 100%. Maybe. Yeah, that is the game you need to know how to play nowadays. So, yeah, like Sheamus knows how to play the game.
Yeah. So. That's true. Aces and eights. I'm looking at. I see Harry Smith. As a guy that you said never got to show. He's not. I mean, the more that you look at, I mean, you say he never got a shot. He's not a WWE wrestler, Harry Smith. Because he can't talk. And
neither can Ryback.
They need that. That's just no, but it's a different deal. It's that's a juiced up
you're
monkey
right. I'm sorry. That's,
killer that
that's,
doesn't
that's,
talk. It's like China.
No. Harry Smith doesn't do juice.
Yeah. He doesn't take juice. No one in his family has ever taken juice. But no, the thing is, I don't know. He just, to me though, he's more of a, he's a guy, he fits the TNA mold better. I mean, I think of Harry Smith against Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, and
absolutely.
And I like those.
And by the way,
options.
The more I think about it, the more I want to see Austin Aries, who's awesome. You get another reason to watch TNA just because this guy's great and a guy, you know, finally getting his chance and that they're giving the world title. Him against Angle is actually for me now starting to look like personally the Bound for Glory main event I want to see. I think that match would be 4.5-5 stars.
Yeah.
Nobody else has a comment on that. That's it.
Well, I still like your original idea of Jeff Hardy. So, to me, Kurt Angle main eventing another Bound for Glory.
I just think him putting over Austin Aries would be great. So, and I think it's a great match. So.
Yeah, but I thought you said they were going to have a match at Bound for Glory.
He'll put him over. He put over fucking Jay Lethal. Kurt will put over
this
anybody. Kurt doesn't have a problem doing that. I mean, Kurt doesn't have a problem because he knows he's good enough. And like, he put over Ken Anderson. He put over Samoa Joe. He doesn't have a problem. He doesn't have a problem. Yeah. AJ, yeah. He put him over. Not
that's
this
true.
AJ.
Speaking of going over, the new global GHC tag team champions in NOAH in Japan, Magnus and Samoa Joe won their tag titles. They did.
Okay.
They just won them overnight. So their TNA connection with
that was another
NOAH,
team that had
Japan,
potential that
so.
They kind of pulled the plug on early over there. But, I mean, did you hear about, what was it, in AAA, that it's Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett as a team with Karen Angle managing them?
Yes.
That's not awkward.
Yes. Karen Angle's gimmick in Mexico is the witch, Karen Angle.
There you go.
I'd do her.
Witches. Yeah. No, don't fucking touch her.
All right. We got anything else to hit there? You got any small items? You got that email to call up here?
You're talking. Well, you said
we
maybe
talked
else
about
spy kids, so that's your mom.
Yeah, I know where you're
and
going.
Small,
yeah. Might be in point two.
Rod did. Well, talking about points, Rod did a 3.4 rating. So another strong rating going in. So that's. I mean, that doesn't necessarily equate to anything, as we know. As you know, that is a post pay-per-view show as well. So. Just given the fact that hardly anybody probably bought that pay-per-view, you know, I didn't know if I expected a 3.4, but I expected a strong rating for the curiosity factor of what happened, right?
They were being able to – their ratings have been fairly good recently, and yet there's no belief that it had any reason to convert buys for Money in the Bank. Well, it was – or as Money in the Who Gives a Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, Money in the Who Gives a Fuck.
There you go.
There you go.
Let's see here. Spike, Viacom and DirecTV have settled. So now we don't have to listen to Mike Tenay asking us to invite our friends who have DirecTV over to watch Impact.
People who watch Impact generally have so many friends.
It's true.
Wrestling fans have many friends.
That's right.
You're my friends in Canada. Like you much, so there you go.
Yeah.
Congrats.
I told you.
There you
go. It's Hoosiers and Hosers.
Oh, I like that. That's the show's name.
Frenemies.
This show's name is Hoosiers and Hosers.
Nice. Now, let's see what other little quick hit things. Something neither one of you watched, I know, because AJ doesn't get it and Mo doesn't care.
I have watched it since NXT. Since its reboot, but I didn't see this episode again, no. I probably will start watching it more regularly.
I just want to do a couple quick things. Percy Watson was on the show jobbing to Jinder Mahal, not wearing the glasses anymore. So the only thing that really made him stand out that he doesn't have. Eddie's daughter, Raquel Diaz, debuted, used the gory bomb as her finisher. They didn't mention it all.
I can't remember if I wanted to sleep with her or not, so I'm going to look her up.
You probably do.
Good point.
Is she a girl?
Good point.
Yeah. That part doesn't even matter. The other thing that I wanted to mention, because I've mocked him a few times on this show already, was Big E Langston. A promo video aired for Big E Langston.
Really?
It was just fucking awesome. It was. It was great. I don't think Big E's going to amount to anything, but this promo video was great. When I debut in NXT, do me a favor. Take your beat like a man. That was it.
All right.
That's cool. I like that.
So he's next con.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how easy it was to just...
Repo Man.
Or how hard it was to leave that joke alone, the obvious one about his color? you're just killing me there.
Why, is there a joke?
Oh.
Remember when MVP was in jail?
And R-Truth.
We talked about MVP, he's been in jail.
And there you go.
R-Truth, yes. Wasn't Zeus an ex-con in the movie?
What's his name? The guy who ended up being the pimp to all those chicks in WCW. There you go.
Oh, Hardbody Harrison. Yes, that's awesome.
Before we go on, I just want to confirm Raquel Diaz. I'd fuck her. You're welcome, world.
Okay. I was sitting on the edge of my seat waiting for that.
Well, I didn't say I'd charge her.
I'm gonna put that the show.
She'd charge you.
You'd have to charge because she'd be running away.
Oh, you know what? I'm getting tips on how to pick up women from Heath Slater.
There you go. See?
Are you sure you wanted to be on this show? At this point, you're just shaking your head like, what the fuck am I listening to?
Slater, a one-man rape gang.
One man. Anyways.
You don't know where to go with this, do you?
Segue to something now, Mo. Huh?
I do have to say I have to step away, soon. I smell dinner.
Right, it's 6:13 your time or something like that, right? Yeah.
It is 6:13. Very good.
I'm smart and stuff.
Know your time zone.
So, I don't know. We got anything else to talk about here? Eddie, are we done?
No, I think that might actually be it, as I've stroked out all the stuff I got on my list here.
Mom joke there, or you leave it alone? You stroked out all the stuff you got.
Well, there's a mom joke.
Oh, there you go.
Make a Bret Hart joke.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Too soon, Addy. Too soon. All right, let's go out here then. AJ, you go out first with your what do you call them? Plugs.
plugs. I want to plug the podcast I'm on right now. So there you go. We Talk
That's
Wrestling.
True.
Go visit it. It's great. I hear it's really good. Okay.
DJ, I know in Indiana, but when you plug stuff, you have to say where to go.
Oh, We Talk Wrestling. So there you go. And you can go follow me on Twitter at StephenA1181.
You need
just
to
go
that to Stephen
follow me
AJ
there, and then
1181.
I might have to now. Might have to throw that out there. Other than that, I appreciate you finally bringing me on, and it's actually been a really good time. I don't know about you guys. I think it was all the pleasure was yours for having me a part of this.
You mean it's actually been a good time? You sound surprised.
No, I knew it was going to be a good time. Like your pumps.
There you go. Now next time we just need to get a curse and you're right in. You called me fat. You made a mom joke. That's all good. All right.
No, I really do. Yeah, I hope, you know, hopefully you guys enjoy
really,
my.
Not really, but anyways, I'm Mo, the Crown Prince of Charisma. That's M-O at We Talk Wrestling. No, at WeTalkPodcast.com. My mistake. That's my email. One more time. I'll edit that out. No, I'm too lazy. M-O, no E in my name, at WeTalkPodcast.com. If you want a guest on our show or do your own radio show on our show or guest blog or I don't know what the fuck I'm saying, but you can email me or catch me and at Twitter, Mo_WeTalk. That's Mo_WeTalk.
Thank you, Mr. Seacrest.
Addy, what are we going for? We're OUT.
Addy. ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com. WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. At WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. iTunes, you can go there, get them all. Stitcher, we've got the app if you want to do it from an iPhone or Android.
Yeah, actually,
and,
you know what?
That's
going to
be it. So,
Freaks TV Channel E is his reboot on Raw that we're working for. They'll be known as the Monday Night Super Show because Raw will be gone according to what we're doing, the blogs and the graphics. He's nearly done. And it's going to kick ass.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. All right. That's nice to know, too. Well, then, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. Boobs.